Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Growing Consciousness with your hosts, Coach Thea and Dr. Chan. This is your growth and consciousness program where we discuss all things related to growing our consciousness and allowing our true selves to emerge. We invite you to call in and share with us the first Wednesday of every month at 1 p.m. so that we all can grow in consciousness.
Welcome to another wonderful episode of Growing Consciousness. I'm Dr. Chan, and I'm joined by my delightful co-host, Saya Ray. Saya, welcome. Okay, maybe we don't have Saya right now. Okay, now we're hearing Saya. Saya, we weren't hearing you before. Welcome. Okay, we're not hearing Saya.
Oh, thank you.
But she'll join us.
I'm here.
Okay, here she comes. All right, there seems to be a delay on the Saya's end, so hopefully as we rectify that, we will just talk a little bit about today's show. Today, we're talking about a tool or a technique that could be your single greatest technique for renewal. Of course, we all have our preferred ways of being renewed, but this one is one that a lot of people have found to be quite helpful as it comes on to, you know, becoming more of their true self, emerging and shaking off some of the cobwebs of dust that we often get bogged down under. So, you know, are you ready to move into a new phase of life? Are you ready to move into a new phase of you? Well, the single greatest technique that may be for you, for your renewal, is self-observation. So Saya, Coach Saya, and I will be talking about self-observation as a tool to renewing ourselves and to experiencing the happiness, the growth that we would like. Saya, let's see if we have rectified the situation on your side. Are you with us, Saya?
Hi. I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we're hearing you now.
Great.
Yes. So self-observation is really a technique that many persons have used quite successfully. It's not the same thing as self-centeredness or self-absorption. Self-centeredness is really a kind of mental absorption where you're just constantly thinking about yourself. Is my clothes look right? You know, am I okay? You know, what are people thinking about me? And your mind is just constantly racing about, you know, what you're doing and what people are thinking. Much is the same of self-absorption. Self-absorption, there's normally underneath that self-absorption is this sense of uneasiness or discomfort that you're not good enough, you're not all right, so you're constantly checking yourself, wondering if you're okay, if you're doing the right thing, if you're saying the right thing, dressing the right way, moving with the right people. Whereas self-observation is more of a method or a technique of destroying that uneasiness, because what you're doing is that you begin to watch everything about yourself, both inside yourself and outside yourself, but you're not doing it in a personalized way. In other words, it's more objective. You're not reacting to every opinion that you about yourself, about what you're doing, about what you're observing. What you're doing is really just, you know, you are basically the watcher of your thoughts, the watcher of your deeds, just objectively watching what's going on. You know, it's as though, you know, you're at one of my favorite places, Lime Key, you know, a little offshore island off of Jamaica. It's like you're at Lime Key and you're standing there watching the ships sailing into Kingston Harbor. You're not thinking, you know, some of the ships are brightly colored, some of them have dull colors, some of the ships look rusty, some of them have tattered flags, new flags, but you're just watching, you're just observing, you're not thinking, well, this is a good ship or this is a bad ship, or, you know, you're just observing these ships moving in and out of the harbor without casting any judgment. So self-observation is more along that line. You are just watching yourself, watching your thoughts without any form of judgment.
Yes, and being more aware, more conscious of yourself, of, you know, how you're relating to a situation or to, you know, another person. yes, it's about, it's more about self-awareness, you know.
Sam?
Hello?
Okay,
the connection is really poor.
Yes, it seems like we lost you there for a second.
Oh, I was just saying, can you hear me now?
Yes, we're hearing you now.
Right, I was just saying, you know, self-observation for me is really about becoming more aware of ourselves, of our reactions, our responses to situations and to, you know, or to other people.
Yes. Yes, it's really as though we are judging nothing as good or bad, as, you know, pleasurable or painful, favorable or unfavorable. It's just, you're just watching as if you have no personal connection with what it is that you are observing. It's as though you are, it's allowing the thoughts to come and go, like visitors, you know. It's like this visitor that's coming and going. You're not, you allow the thought to come and you allow it to pass and you just watch it. So it's like you are the watcher of your thoughts, which is what you really are. You are the watcher of your thoughts. Yeah, so it can be really a remarkable experience just to stand aside and to watch, whether it is a fear or a thought or, you know, a sadness or a passion just pass through you without actually personalizing it, without judging it as good or bad. And that is actually the magic that eventually changes things almost effortlessly in our lives. It sounds strange, I know, especially if it's the first time that you're hearing about this, but, you know, if we just bear in mind that self-observation is not thinking about ourselves, but it is really a quiet watching, right? It's just a quiet watching, as though you were bird watching and you're just standing out there and you're just quietly observing, you know, this banana quit or this oriole or this mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
You're not looking at it that it's a good bird, it's a bad bird, you know, the color's not quite right, it needs some adjusting. It's just you just quietly, because if you make noise, it's going to flutter away. You're just standing and watching and observing what it is. Because what it is really doing is giving you the keys to self-knowledge, and that can be very freeing, very liberating, because it really enables us to see ourselves as we really are, not who we imagine ourselves to be, but as we really are. And although that can be very frightening for most people, it's actually the best foundation that we can have when we're trying to build a new self or to allow our true selves to emerge. Because when we see ourselves as we truly are, then things become different. Things begin to shift for the better for us and for those around us.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it for me, well, I personally believe that we are spirits having a human journey. And
yes,
that self-observation allows us to distinguish who we really are, our pure essence, observing from our pure essence, being able to observe from that place the personality that we have created up to now. And in observing that, in getting to see and understand that, in seeing how we respond, how we've been responding, to witnessing it allows us to see our patterns of behavior, and it allows us to choose more consciously, you know, in a similar situation in the future. You know, it allows us to choose who we want to be, how we want to present, you know. Like I say, you know, without that judgment, but I think it's a very profound practice, and it allows real deep change and real evolution, I suppose, if you want to refer to it as that, because if I realize that, when I stop to observe myself and I see how I respond to people who come at me with aggression. You know, I can get to choose from that place. Do I need to react in the same way? You know, what feelings come up within me when I'm met with aggression? And can I think of other times when I'm approached with, you know, compassion and love? And what's the difference? What makes a difference in my response? And how is the outcome different when I respond from a place of love and compassion, or when I react to the aggression with aggression? You know, and it allows you to choose peace over anger. And as small as that may seem, personally, I think it is just the foundation for a more peaceful and expansive life, because, you know, I often say if we can have a little bit more peace, anything that can bring me a little more peace is very welcome.
Yes, agreed. And I would also agree that, you know, that awareness brings not only peace, but happiness. And there are some people who actually say awareness and happiness are exactly the same thing. You know, a lot of us are afraid of really looking into ourselves or really taking that time to do that introspection because we're afraid of what we'll see. We're afraid that we won't like what we see. But when we're talking about self-observation, we're really talking about just looking at yourself objectively. As you said, just looking like you're a bird watcher, looking at that bird, you know, the killdeer or the toady or the annie or whatever bird you're looking at is neither good nor bad when you're a bird watcher. You're just observing. You're just seeing what it does. Is it drinking water? Is it, you know, eating an insect? Is it, you know, sallying out from a branch to catch a fly? What is it doing? You're not judging it as good or bad. And this is what self-observation is. It really is just looking at ourselves almost in a passive or detached way. It's just, you know, just allowing yourself, as you said, to just be aware of what do I do? How do I respond in certain situations? I responded with anger, or I responded with sadness, or, oh, you know, okay, that's interesting. It doesn't have to be, oh, that's good or bad. It just has to be, oh, okay. Then, you know, you can always, you know, observe, you know, well, I wonder what caused that, or I wonder why I responded that way. You know, and it doesn't, you're not judging yourself. And what we see or what we find and what I have found for myself too is, you know, it almost seems counterintuitive, is that the less critical, the first time I was introduced with the concept of criticizing yourself less, I was like, well, how am I going to get better if I criticize myself less? But it's really more about understanding yourself more. You can say that something needs to be worked on or improved without criticizing yourself, bashing yourself, tearing yourself down. And the same is true of others. So if you think about, you know, if you have children, if your child makes a mistake, are you going to tear them down and degrade them as you're the worst child that ever walked the face of the earth? You know, you'll never get this right. And that's what we tend to do with ourselves when we make mistakes. And that's why a lot of us are afraid to look at ourselves, because we are so used to that mental pattern of just degrading ourselves, tearing ourselves down for mistakes, instead of saying, you know what, okay, maybe that was not the best approach. So, you know what, next time I'm in a situation like this, I'm going to make an active effort to do it this other way. Not to say, you know, this good way or this, you know, this better, but to say that we're going to do it a little differently the next time and see what the outcome is going to be. And it's really by practicing that awareness and that just observing ourselves and making new choices, that is how we will become renewed. This is how we allow our true selves to really emerge, because we're not being so judgmental and harsh with ourselves. We're observing. We're not closing our eyes, you know, because a lot of times people think that, you know, people who practice this kind of thing, you're just living in this airy-fairy world and you think everything is just perfect and you're so perfect. No, it's not about that. It's about recognizing, yes, there are, you know, shortcomings, and yes, there are things that you would like to improve upon, but it is doing so in a space of, as you said, say, a space of compassion, a space of love, and a space of understanding.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, in my experience, the more compassionate I can be with myself, the less afraid I am of taking risks or going into new situations, you know, because I'm less judgmental of me. I'm more understanding of me. Therefore, if I try something new and I don't get it right the first time, whether, I don't know, that is starting a business, if I don't, the first, with compassion, I'm going in, like you said, treating myself as the child, with compassion, with love, with understanding, and that then allows for more expansiveness, because the criticism and the judgment tends to keep me in the same place, you know, in this uncomfortable comfort zone. Think, yeah, self-observation, you know, which helps increase self-awareness, is a really, really big deal and a wonderful practice. Absolutely,
yes.
Wonderful and valuable practice.
Yes. Yes, it almost brings about certain changes in our inner processes, because we begin to understand on a deeper level, not just on a cerebral or mental level, we begin to understand that self-observation is, as you say, an instrument of self-change. It's really a means of awakening, of bringing out our true selves, because by observing ourselves, what we do is that we're throwing light into areas of darkness, because a lot of times, as I say, I know I keep saying this over and over, but it's so true. So many of us, we just don't look at ourselves because we're afraid. We're afraid to look within. We're afraid of that alone time. We drown out thoughts about ourselves by turning on the TV, getting in, you know, absorbed in video games, or, you know, we go the other way by becoming so self-absorbed that we are, you know, just, oh, what kind of shoes do I have on? I need to have on the right shoes. And, oh, look at Mary Brown's shoe. Her shoe was better than mine. I need to get a better shoe. So we become, again, you know, another extreme of being self-absorbed, but at the same time not practicing that self-observation. And if, you know, one way that you can practice that self-observation is, you know, right now just to kind of just look up from whatever it is you're doing. You're listening to the show, so you're kind of drawn in. So while you're listening to the show, you're really absorbed, hopefully, in the show. So, you know, you don't exist to yourself because you're in the now. You're just in this moment where you're listening. But, you know, just take a moment and just you just look around you. Just, you know, shake your head or wriggle your shoulders or something to just break that present mental state. And just look around you. Just notice where you are, whether you're on the train or, you know, you're listening to your MP3 player or, you're listening, you know, in your room or your desk at work. Just look around you. And don't just notice the room or the space, you know, the subway, train or wherever you are. Notice that you are in that room. You know, think of yourself, you know, I am here, you know, just see if you can take a look of you, look at yourself from above or from afar in a distance and what you look like. You know, the difference in your thinking as you look around and you look back at yourself is different from when you're totally absorbed in this show or in a TV show. Right. So that's the difference in terms of self-observation. We want to become, you know, hopefully self-aware human beings where we understand ourselves, where we can look at ourselves and look and be courageous about that, because so many of us, I know I keep saying it, but so many of us, it's so amazing to me every time I hear that, you know, so many of us are just don't know ourselves. We're just not aware of who we are. We think we know who we are. We're afraid to look at it. So this awareness, by practicing this self-observation, we become aware. And as many of the mystics proclaim, they say the kingdom of heaven is within. It's not this place in the sky, but it's within you. And it is that truth, that awareness that brings about, as you said, that peace and that happiness that impartial self-observation is really going to bring us.
Yes. And, you know, the observation, it allows us to become present. And the present, it's not called the present by mistake. It's because it's a gift. It is a present. We are right here. We're breathing. We're living. There is always something to give thanks for, regardless of our situation, you know. And that becoming present is really vital in our happiness, because it means that we miss less moments because we become more present in the moment with the practice of self-observation. We become present in the moment, so we tend to miss less. Time tends to slow down a little bit, believe it or not. My days, I should say, feel fuller when
yes.
I stop to observe, all right, what am I feeling? Like you just said, Dr. Chan, you know, the listeners that are tuned in now, when you stop to observe the sound you're hearing, what's in the room, what's going on around you, wherever you are, you may observe things that you would have otherwise missed simply because you weren't actually present in your situation, you know. And we're here. We're on this journey. We're living, you know. We're not living just to work, or we're not living just to be who everybody else expects or wants us to be. We actually chose to be here for purpose, to experience this life that we are living. So the more caught up we are with all the external factors,
Saya dropped out a second there. Yes, but as Coach Saya is saying, you know, we're not just here to experience all the external factors. We're here to experience, as she would say. We're here to experience and to really appreciate the things that are happening internally. And as we practice self-observation, you know, we are bound to be a little bit, you know, disturbed or, you know, surprised or disheartened at what we see. And that's okay. You know, we when we find that we are not who we thought we were, we notice maybe some negativities or that we're sure we did not have within us. But we should not let that disturbance allow us to turn away from the process. We can take it, we can deal it, you know, we can handle it. We can look at those things and we can deal with them, because the new insight as to who we really are and the things that we do and how we respond to them and why, it does not make us worse as we might assume, but it makes us better. Right? It makes us better because we are healthier than before, because we have exposed the darkness to light and the very negativities that kept us as more or less unconscious prisoners. We become free, we become conscious and free persons. So it is, you know, that type of that light that really destroys the darkness of, you know, really seeing who we are. And yeah, we may be uncomfortable looking at some of the things that we did in the past, that we did, and we are not sure what why we did them or how, but by actually just working on them, you know, we figure out that, you know, yeah, we can actually move forward and live renewed mm-hmm. just by accepting those things. Sarah, you're with us again.
I'm back. I'm so sorry about this poor connection. Technology. I always say technological. There's no logic in it.
Yes.
So unfortunately I missed a bit of what was being, you know, what you were sharing, Dr. Chan, and you know, I was sharing some a bit, but I don't know how much of it you guys heard.
So you were talking about we're not just here to experience the external.
Yes. That's it. Okay, so you heard most of it, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, just by this self-observation allows us to be more present. It allows us to enjoy and experience more of this gift of life, you know. And I heard you speaking about how it can shed more light into places that we tend to not want to look at, you know,
mm-hmm.
And yes, I agree. It allows stuff to come up to be healed within us, because all of us have stuff, you know. All of us have issues to work through, issues that affect how we operate out there in the world, and just allowing ourselves to observe ourselves and our behavior, our reactions, our responses. It brings those parts of us into our consciousness, and then we get to choose if these things work for us, if they're not working for us, and we get to change them if they're not working for us, you know. It's a process, it's a journey.
Yes, a process and a journey.
When we say we want to grow.
Yeah,
when we say we want to grow, there is no growth without self-observation. For me, no authentic growth without observing yourself and being willing to reflect and to accept ourselves as who we are and as who we are right now.
Yeah.
You know, I hear people often say, "This is just me. This is just who I am." This is just, it's just so I stay. And I always say, but it's only how you stay up to now. It's not set in stone, you know? It's easy for us to blame it on how we stay. But really, if it not feeling, something about how we stay not feeling good within us, we come here with free will, so we have the option to change that, you know?
I agree that impartial, that objective self-observation leads to that self-awakening, to that happiness, to that peace that you mentioned. It really frees us to really live fuller and happier lives. It seems very simple and very simplistic.
Yeah.
I mean, you see, we're not here selling you anything. This is not an infomercial. When we say your single greatest technique, we're not here trying to upsell you to something else. We're just telling you what it is.
Yeah.
It's really self-observation, and it's very simple, but at the same time, something that most of us just don't do because we're so afraid. But, you know, you can handle it. Whatever you see, you can handle it. We all have issues. As I said, every single one of us has issues. It's how we deal with those issues, how we cope with that issues, how we allow ourselves to grow and to flow as it relates to those issues that really makes a difference. So, you know, do your best. Try practicing self-observation, and you will notice that, you know, you're going to have better health because you're going to stop worrying and stressing so much, so your blood pressure not going to be so high.
Yes.
Or if you get depressed about things,
you
know, your blood pressure going to come up a little bit more. And it really frees us from those nagging trivialities, you know.
Yeah, and you'll get to see what your triggers are, you know. It's like last night, and I'll be really quick because I realized we only have 2 minutes, you know. My daughter called me very irate, and, you know, she was upset, and she offloading, and, you know, she was upset with her brother, and she carrying on the phone, and, you know, she cussing and carrying on. And I was like, all right, well, you need to just calm down a little, just calm down a little. I'm trying to stay calm, calm down. Don't stop telling me to calm down, mommy. And that went on for a good 3 minutes. And then I said, all right, I'm going to hang up now. Because I realized that through my own self-observation, I was becoming irritated. I wasn't feeling good in myself. And no matter what I was saying, it wasn't pacifying her. So I put down the phone. And she didn't like that. But guess what? I preserved a little bit more of myself. I was able to continue to remain calm in my space with who I was with, doing what I was doing. And within half an hour, you know, she called back. She was calm. She was fine. I managed to stay calm. She calmed herself down. But the point is, yes, you
that
get to choose. And
that can be very quickly.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you
well,
get the same option with your boss or your partner.
Well, sir, unfortunately, we have run out of time. We want to thank everyone for tuning in to Growing Consciousness. We hope that you practice some self-observation, that you can be happier, and your true self can continue to emerge. Thank you for joining Coach Seah and I on the Growing Consciousness Show. See you next month.
Thanks for joining Coach Seah and Dr. Chan today on Growing Consciousness. Join us the first Wednesday of next month for another insightful and informative discussion. Stay tuned and keep growing in consciousness.